Russia has the largest number of nuclear weapons in the world. The United States is not too far behind. The two countries control 90% of all nuclear warheads. Well behind them are France, China, the UK, Pakistan, India, and finally North Korea. With so much attention focused on North Korea's nuclear capabilities, we're going to take a look now at the spread of weapons and the successful reining in of nuclear programs. We've asked Siegfried Hecker to help us take stock. He is Senior Fellow at the Center for International Security and Cooperation. Thank you, Professor, for joining us.
Lisa, thank you. It's a pleasure to be here with you.
The landmark Nuclear Nonproliferation Treaty, known as the NPT, was negotiated and signed 50 years ago. At the time, there was a major arms race going on. I wonder if you could first compare that to now. Countries don't seem to be quite as motivated by the numbers in their nuclear stockpile, developing as many nukes as they possibly can. Are they now?
Well, first of all, I mean, the main arms race was really between the U.S. And the Soviet Union. However, back in that time, 50 years ago, there was concern that perhaps we would have 25 countries go to nuclear. Turns out that's not happened. However, in the nuclear business, you don't need many nuclear bombs. You don't need many nuclear countries, and therefore it is still a problem. So the issues are very different, still very serious, but nowhere near what they were 50 years ago.
Yeah, I'm going to pick up on what you mentioned there about how you don't need that many nuclear bombs. It's a matter of how many countries have them. And there used to be a bumper sticker that said one nuclear bomb can ruin your whole day. So where do the numbers come in? I mean, we hear both from Russia and from the United States that there are interests in updating, modernizing the nuclear stockpile. Tell us if that means adding to the stockpile and why. I mean, we're talking about thousands and thousands of nuclear weapons on both sides.
Well, actually, both countries indeed still have thousands of nuclear weapons. However, both countries are also modernizing. And in addition, you know, President Putin has really decided that he's going to demonstrate to the United States that no matter what it does with missile defense, that the Russian nukes can get us. And so he's shown off in the last couple of months some monstrous new nuclear capabilities, like a big nuclear torpedo and then a new ICBM, intercontinental ballistic missile. Do they need that? I don't think so. What does the U.S. do? Of course, we have to respond. And so that's actually one of the very unfortunate things. Things went in a direction from what I would call confrontation to collaboration after the Cold War. We worked together for 25 years to try to make the world a safer place, and now it's going in the other direction. That needs attention. And in my opinion, it's not getting sufficient attention today from our government.
President Trump has escalated his own rhetoric on nuclear arms, tweeting about how he has a bigger button on his desk than Kim Jong-un of North Korea and talking about building up the U.S. arsenal. I want to ask you something that's not a rhetorical question, but how many nuclear weapons does a country really need?
Well, the way that the U.S. has always put it, we need to have enough to be able to deter the other side. So when the other side was the Soviet Union, you know, the governments decided they actually needed tens of thousands. You know, as you look back now, that seems absolutely crazy. And the number of nuclear weapons have gone down by some 85% since the end of the Cold War.
I mean, that sounds like good news, but you're still sort of sounding the alarm.
So we still have thousands of nuclear weapons. That's too many nuclear weapons. And the U.S. and Russia should be working in a direction of getting rid of more of those nuclear weapons.
If the U.S. and Russia have the vast majority, we understand the concerns about North Korea, but what are the other countries that you think we should be paying attention to?
Well, the one that I'm most worried about is a potential nuclear confrontation between India and Pakistan. And those two countries, since their birth, which was like 70 years ago, they have been in confrontation ever since. They're building up their nuclear capabilities. Their numbers are still much lower. They're on the level of 100 or so. However, they're both diversifying those weapons, the triad, which would be land, air, and also underwater. That diversification, combined with the possibility of them developing battlefield nuclear weapons, lowers the nuclear threshold in a place in the world that's quite a dangerous place. So that's one of my biggest concerns, and it turns out the United States is extremely important as a mediator, to the conflicts that are there in South Asia, namely India, Pakistan.
How about Iran in terms of, I mean, at this point, Iran is not known as a nuclear power, but the Iran nuclear deal was negotiated to keep the country from developing nuclear weapons. President Trump has criticized the deal. Do you think that it's an effective way of deterring Iran from obtaining nuclear arms?
Well, from a technical standpoint, that deal was better than anything that I expected. It put intrusive inspections in place that would give us insurance that they're not moving closer to the bomb. The difficulty with Iran, for the most part, and I think the administration is really worried about that, there are lots of things that Iran does outside of the nuclear arena, which are very troublesome for the United States. As far as the nuclear deal is concerned, it's better, whatever problems we have in the Middle East, that those problems are faced without a nuclear Iran. And that's what I think the deal does. So we should stick with it.
I think we should note as well, there are some real success stories about the dismantling of nuclear weapons, about countries giving up their nuclear programs. Give us the kind of highlights. I mean, there's Libya, there's South Africa. Tell us what you think is the most noteworthy.
The most important success is that rather few countries have pursued them. That's the most important. In terms of getting rid of nuclear weapons, the most significant one is South Africa, that had actually built 6 nuclear devices and then in the early 1990s decided to give it up. The other examples, of course, is the other former states of the Soviet Union, namely Ukraine, Belarus, and Kazakhstan.
Because they inherited the USSR's weapons.
Right. They inherited the weapons from the Soviet Union, and they gave them back to Russia in great cooperation with the United States. And again, that's in such contrast and is such a pity to where we are today. Now, the things that we learned from those successes then have to be applied very carefully to what we have today. For example, if we look at North Korea and say, well, just let them do what Libya did, and that is to just give up their nuclear program. Well, Libya and Gaddafi had almost nothing. They had a few crates of centrifuges that were indeed shipped to the United States. North Korea has a substantial nuclear program. It has dozens and missile program, dozens of sites, hundreds of buildings, thousands of people. And it has weapons, it has plutonium, it has highly enriched uranium, it has the hydrogen bomb fuels. That's an entirely different situation. So yes, there were successes, but now we have to be much smarter as to how do we deal with countries like North Korea.
Nice to talk to you again. Siegfried Hecker, who's senior fellow at the Center for International Security and Cooperation and emeritus director of the Los Alamos National Laboratory, speaking to us by Skype. Thank you again, Professor.
Thank you, Lisa.